Chapter 4, Part 2, Method in the Madness. We have reached the stage now where doctors and scientists, eminent in their field, are censored and deleted for challenging the infinitely contradictory and blatantly obvious mendacity of the cult's COVID and vaccine narrative. Anyone telling the truth or giving people a platform to tell the truth is targeted by the liberal, woke, fascist mob to be silenced. We saw this with American podcast host Joe Rogan after he gave the opportunity for experts in their field to challenge the COVID narrative on his Spotify show, which was reaching audiences of some 11 million. It came to a head when two guests exposed the dangers and catastrophic consequences of COVID fake vaccines, which do not fulfill the previous criteria of what constitutes a vaccine. They are gene therapy, genetically manipulating the body with mRNA, M meaning messenger, or rather modified RNA, synthetic genetic material in a process never used on humans before. Stefan Ulrich, president of Bayer's pharmaceuticals division, made it clear to 6,000 participants at the World Health Summit in Berlin in 2021 that mRNA COVID vaccines are not vaccines but gene therapy that were part of a biorevolution. He said that if the jabs were marketed as what they really are, the public would refuse them. Quote, "We are really taking that leap to drive innovation, us as a company, Bayer, in cell and gene therapies. Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take a gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would probably have had a 95% refusal rate," end quote. You don't tell them what the fake vaccines really are. You tell them they will protect people from COVID when that's not what they are designed to do at all, as we've seen. Crucial to this is the censorship of anyone who will tell people the truth. The more qualified they are to do that, the more urgently they must be silenced. This includes insider whistleblowers who have revealed official data showing the fake vaccine, quote, trials were fraudulent and not trials at all. In Rogan's case, he spoke with Dr. Robert Malone, a pioneer of the mRNA technique used in COVID fake vaccines, and American cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough, a vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor University Medical Center, who said rightly and provably that the fake pandemic was deliberately planned and the fake vaccines were killing thousands of people. We then went through the usual stage show involving cult coward Spotify and jokes like system-serving rocker Neil Young and singer Joni Mitchell. Young and Mitchell removed their music from Spotify in protest at Rogan's misinformation, the misinformation of two experts in their field. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, that pair of professional prats and wokers, said they were concerned at the misinformation, which is all you need to confirm that the misinformation they were concerned about had to be true. Mr. and Mrs. Pratt were not concerned enough to withdraw from their gargantuan Spotify contract for producing utter crap. Spotify, of course, caved, it's in the stage show script, by taking down 70 Rogan podcasts initially and said it would add warnings to any content on the platform questioning the official COVID narrative. Spotify boasted how it had already deleted 20,000 other videos that questioned COVID and the fake vaccines. It was revealed during the Rogan controversy that the top owner of Spotify is also the top owner of COVID fake vaccine maker Moderna. This is the Scotland-founded asset management operation Baillie Gifford and Company, which owns nearly 46 million shares in Moderna, valued at more than $11.6 billion. They are the biggest shareholder in Spotify, with 22 million shares worth more than $22 billion. Dutch podcaster Jorn Luca was banned by Spotify in this period for posting an interview with me, which should not have been a surprise when Spotify banned me in the spring of 2020. Rogan has refused to interview me in all the years of his podcast on YouTube before moving to Spotify. I have no idea why, given all the subjects that I cover that relate to his content. I doubt it will happen now, with censors looking over his shoulder. Rogan made the mistake of appearing to apologize for his content and saying he would try to have more balance, which means having more people on with official positions and opinions. 99.9% of the mainstream media promotes the official opinion and bans any other. Yet Rogan's podcast, as a rare example of the semi-mainstream offering another view, has to be balanced with the official opinion. It's a joke. When Rogan has these people on, I hope he asks the questions and makes the points they will have no chance of credibly answering. We'll see. We have the cancel culture when people get banned, but this is given more power by what I call the sackcloth culture, when people fall to their knees and apologize to the mob in an attempt to appease them. The mob is never appeased. The more you give it, the more it wants until it destroys you. I've found that ignoring their inanity is the best way to respond, which means no response at all, except continuing to do what you do. They soon give up when you won't bend and give them no encouragement. Censorship is not a sign of power, it's confirmation of weakness. They know their narrative is child's play to demolish, and they simply silence or seek to those who demolish it. I don't want to censor anyone. I believe in freedom of expression, and anyway, I'm confident that what I say can stand its ground in any debate. The cult and its operatives know that their narrative can't survive the light of scrutiny. And from this point of weakness, they have to censor. Zuckerberg, Brin, Page, Wachiski, Agrawal, and everyone else involved in the lies and censorship worldwide are all guilty of crimes against humanity for all the deaths and life-changing injuries the fake vaccines have caused to people who may have made a different decision had they not had their right to informed consent destroyed by these censors. None of those names and others involved across the world will care about those consequences. To do what they do in the first place, they have to be empathy deleted, compassion deleted, heart deleted psychopaths. Another aspect of information and perception control are fact-checker organizations that have ballooned in the COVID and pre-COVID years, like the Gates-funded NewsGuard and others such as Full Fact, Snopes, and Reuters. Their job is to, quote, fact-check all challenges to the official narrative of everything, and to find that any questioning is not justified and the official narrative is always correct. How these people live with themselves is a profound mystery. Cult-owned Silicon Valley corporations censor posts on the basis of the cult-owned fake fact-checkers dubbing them disinformation and misinformation, no matter what the scale of evidence to support what is said. One of the worst is elite-funded NewsGuard, NewsSlant, that has partnered with the American Federation of Teachers, the second largest U.S. teachers union, which pressed for mandatory COVID fake vaccination and masks for school children. It is therefore fascistic by definition and cult agenda to its ideological DNA. This partnership involves telling school children what they should believe and not believe under the guise of helping them to, quote, navigate a sea of online misinformation. In the cult context, misinformation means the truth or closer to the truth. Much that these fact checkers dubbed misinformation with regard to COVID, tyrannical restrictions and fake vaccines has turned out to be true. As an article at childrenshealthdefense.org pointed out, quote, a closer look at NewsGuard's advisors, partners, and investors reveals a web of interests closely linked to the military, intelligence, media, and political establishments, as well as to the world of corporate marketing, including an advertising agency sued for illegally marketing opioids. End quote. One member of the NewsGuard advisory board is Michael Hayden, CIA director during the Boy Bush presidency. Schools are programming centers now, nothing more. And teachers who support it and stand for it, led by cult co-opted teaching unions, are a bloody disgrace to the children who're supposed to be in their care. Another character that requires a mention is professional censor Imran Ahmed, a banker and activist with the UK's super woke Labour Party. Ahmed heads up the Centre for Countering Digital Hate, or as I prefer to call it, Centre for Digital Hate. Note the American spelling of centre, C-E-N-T-E-R, for what is supposed to be a UK operation. Ahmed's modus operandi has been to demand that media organisations ban and silence his targets for racism and hate speech. This is seriously rich when these anti-haters seek to demonise, attract hatred, to those they don't want the public to hear. Most telling and revealing was how, when the COVID card was played, Ahmed and his digital hate morphed immediately from using hate as the reason to ban people from public discourse to attacking them for questioning the official COVID narrative and later the fake vaccines. It was a swift and extraordinary shapeshift. The same happened when he targeted information and opinions at odds with the official narrative of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Ahmed told the pathetic Mother Jones magazine, quote, there are particular individuals within the anti-vaccine world who are amenable to pro-Russian propaganda, quote. Ahmed shapeshifts faster than the Queen, but always with a common thread, censoring those who question and expose official narratives. Who is amenable to cult propaganda, Mr. Ahmed? We know who you are, we know why you do what you do, and we know why you get so much access to the mainstream media, Mr. Ahmed. If you were good at what you do, you would not make it so obvious. But you are not. Good, that is. Ahmed, I think it's fair to say, is not the brightest man ever to move his lips. His contacts mean that he doesn't have to be, when softball questions from softball people are his daily diet. His backbone twitches at the very thought of debating live with me, which is why he refuses. I would have him for breakfast, dinner and tea, and he knows it. His modus operandi is to feign outrage at social media organisations allowing any remaining dissenting points of view, while giving those same organisations the excuse they want to censor even more. Ahmed led the charge to have me banned from YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, and as always crows with delight at every fellow human that he denies the rights that he demands for himself. He's such a lovely man. Ahmed is treated as an expert on misinformation by the mainstream media and politicians, when he clearly represents a greater agenda for mass censorship of opinion and information that challenge official fairy tales. One question you will never hear a mainstream cult lackey interviewer ask him is this: who the hell are you to decide what the public can and cannot hear? It's much better for their career to say, yes, Mr. Ahmed, no, Mr. Ahmed, is there anything else you would like to say or anyone else you want to demonise, Mr. Ahmed? I watched him interviewed by woker Cathy Newman on the UK's Channel 4 News once. My only regret was not having a sick bag to hand. A supporter of DavidIcke.com made it his business to investigate the web that connects with Ahmed, digital hate, and the enormous network of censorship organisations, personnel and funders that extend across the Atlantic into the United States and the fully woke, fully cult-owned Democratic Party. Ahmed began to appear on the American cult-owned woke media, and once again, he is given free rein to demonise whoever he chooses. One of his targets has been the thoroughly decent Robert Kennedy Jr., who is doing magnificent work exposing the fake vaccines and the cult-owned Big Pharma cartel, including a deeply researched exposure of the mass-murdering psychopathic health chief Anthony Fauci in the book The Real Anthony Fauci. Why would Imran Ahmed want to silence Kennedy, I wonder? I can't think. I mean, who would benefit? People say that if you don't like big tech censorship, start your own platform. When you do, you have government censors coming after you, as they then target independent sites. The UK government's Imran Ahmed promoted online safety bill is going through Parliament as I write. The bill claims to be addressing internet child sexual abuse, terrorist material, racial hatred, and incitement to violence. The real reason is to destroy the alternative media with crippling fines if the government's fascist broadcast regulator, Ofcom, deems that content is harmful. The content can be perfectly lawful and legal, no matter. If Ofcom decrees it could be harmful, then it must be deleted or fines and even jail will follow. Ofcom is so bad that it was created by Tony Blair in 2001 and is now headed by Melanie Dawes, a career bureaucrat with no media experience. She was previously permanent secretary of the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government and has worked for the Treasury, Revenue and Customs and the infamous Cabinet Office, from where the COVID response was orchestrated by an army of behavioural psychologists. Media experience for a UK broadcast media regulator is not necessary when you have simply been put in there to do a preordained job. Dawes took over in February 2020, just as COVID was kicking off and censorship was required for those exposing the lies of her masters. An Ofcom decree in the spring of 2020 effectively had me banned from all UK mainstream broadcast media. They spinelessly complied, naturally, when I exposed COVID as a hoax and how the PCR test was not testing for the virus. Both were true, as ever more people now realise. The truth, however, is no defence against censorship tyranny. It's the reason for censorship tyranny. Ofcom's Melanie Dawes must face a Nuremberg jury for again denying the public informed consent under the post-war Nuremberg Code, designed to stop the abuses of people through medication without knowledge of its effects and potential consequences. Dawes denied that informed consent through censorship of what the UK broadcast media was allowed to say and who it was allowed to interview. Ofcom has been established as the government censor of all broadcast and internet information that the cult doesn't want you to see. Blair played the same harm scam when he introduced emotional harm as a reason for the state to steal children from loving parents. Tens of thousands have been mercilessly parted on that basis. When social service psychopaths can find no physical harm reason to steal kids, they invent spurious emotional harm that is rubber stamped by a judge in secret family courts that cannot be reported. Now we see this being played out with Ofcom and harmful content, which includes misinformation, that cult euphemism for the truth. The cult-owned fascist Trudeau regime in Canada is seeking to do the same, as I write, with Bill C-11 to, quote, protect Canadians from harmful content, end quote. The bill would give the government, as in fascist Britain, complete control over what you're allowed to post and see and websites you can access. The global pattern is blatant. The Department of Homeland Fascism in the United States now officially equates questioning and challenging government narratives with terrorism. Hate, harm, and terrorism are only what the cult decrees them to be, as we saw when Facebook Meta suspended its hate guidelines by allowing people in Ukraine, Russia, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Slovakia, Hungary, and Romania to call for violence against Russians, quote, in the context of the Ukrainian invasion, end quote. Internal emails reported by Reuters told content moderators that posts calling for the death of Vladimir Putin were also allowed. You can post hate so long as you hate the people we want you to hate. Big tech and the media are operating as full-time propagandists for the cult, with the Hunter Biden laptop story a most blatant example. In the closing weeks of the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden's corrupt and moronic son, it's obviously genetic, was revealed by his own computer to have been running a cash-for-influence scheme in league with his father and other family members. This secured millions for the Bidens from overseas sources, most notably Ukraine, but also Qatar, Russia, and China. Joe Biden was selling policy changes affecting those countries while vice president to cult-owned Barack Obama. The revelations should obviously have ended Biden's presidential ambitions. Instead, big tech censored circulation of the story, while big media trashed its significance and dubbed it Russian disinformation. The cult-owned New York Times, which had helped to bury the story, admitted in March 2022 that it was true. Those who take themselves seriously had known this from the start. When the Times admission finally came, of course, Biden was president and the job was done. Fact-checker NewsGuard had said all along that the Biden laptop story was misinformation, which probably came from Russia. Were they banned from anywhere for lying? Oh no, it was the right kind of lying. So they were okay. Censorship is about manipulation of perception, which is about manipulation of mind. I say again, it's all about mind. I will come back to this recurring theme that will be central to everything as we dive deeper and deeper into the levels of deceit. I've said and written for decades that the goal of the cult is to reach a point of information control in which no one ever sees or hears anything that isn't sanctioned by authority. This is what the UK Online Safety Bill, and it's like in Canada and elsewhere, are really seeking to achieve. Orwell depicted just such a society long ago. It means that no matter what scale of censorship you now see, we are nowhere near the end of that particular road. COVID was designed to make censorship normal and accepted. We saw how seamlessly that crossed from what you could see about COVID to what you could see about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Evil anti-vaxxers who must be attacked and silenced became evil Russians who must be attacked and silenced no matter what their views or background. Orwell's concept of a daily 2 minutes of hate has become hours and hours of it on Twitter. Two fascist American senators claiming to be Democrats introduced a bill to legalize censorship and criminalize freedom of speech in breach of the free speech defending First Amendment. They are a pair of morons called Ben Ray Lujan and Chris Murphy. The latter moron said, quote, "Through this pandemic, the impact of misinformation has been devastating. Rumors and conspiracy theories about the efficacy of masking or the safety of vaccines still run rampant on social media and have caused thousands of deaths that could have been prevented. This legislation will help us get smart about how to tackle misinformation and effectively promote science-based health information, especially as we continue fighting COVID-19 and prepare for future public health emergencies." End quote. What a monumental liar when the opposite is true. Staggering numbers have been killed by the fake vaccines. You see the key point here: prepare for future public health emergencies. The alternative media threw spanners in their works galore despite all the censorship. Now they seek to delete all other evidence and voices ready for the next health crisis, which they have long planned. Biden's Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, another cult-owned fascist, formally demanded major cult tech platforms hand over data relating to the scale of COVID-19 misinformation on social networks, search engines, crowdsourced platforms, e-commerce platforms, and instant messaging systems. Murthy sought information from the tech tyrants about major sources of COVID-19 misinformation that differed from the official narrative, a narrative long shown to be a cesspit of lies from start to finish. Quote, "This is about protecting the nation's health," Murthy said, engaging in a classic example of cult inversion. "These disgusting people must face a Nuremberg-type trial when sanity gains control of the human mind." Cult web coordination explains why so many of these alternative voices censored by cult media corporations have also been banned by cult-owned financial corporations in a further effort to stop them functioning. I was banned by cult-owned PayPal when I wasn't even using it. Canadian truckers raised $10 million for their mass protest against cult gopher Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his COVID fascism through the crowdfunding website GoFundMe. The coward Trudeau ran for the hills when tens of thousands of truckers arrived in the capital, Ottawa, from all over Canada and claimed he was isolating after testing positive for COVID. Despite being triple jabbed with the fake vaccine he was trying to impose on the truckers to, quote, protect Canadians from COVID, end quote. He was lying, of course, and he was really isolating from the truckers, who, with that financial backing, had the money to stay in Ottawa until Trudeau's, the cult's, fake vaccine mandates were dropped. The cult knew the money was crucial, and GoFundMe froze the fund and would not allow donations for the truckers from the public to go to the truckers. GoFundMe even said at one point that the money would be given to charities that it chose. This is how the cult web works, and GoFundMe needs to be boycotted by everyone who has a smear of respect for freedom and integrity. More about GoFundMe's connection shortly. Web networks further reveal why and how we have seen such coordination and mutual support between woke organizations claiming to be anti-system and billionaire corporations in the field of tech and commerce of all kinds. The cult owns them all, from Black Lives Matter and the transgender movement to Apple, Microsoft, and George Soros. Those paying attention will see that all the demands of wokers in all their forms fit exactly with the agenda of the cult. They include everything from COVID fascist orthodoxy to divide and rule on the grounds of race, mass immigration to change national cultures and demographics, transgender hysteria to change human genetics, more later, and human-caused climate change founded on lies so outrageous it takes the breath away, which is handing control of global energy to the East at the expense of the cult-targeted West. Wokeness has been indoctrinated with ever greater extremes through the fake education system to instill the ignorant subservience to authority that woke has become and was designed from the start to become. Organizations like Extinction Rebellion protest against authority and demand the very green fascism agenda that authority, the cult, wants to happen, instigated through the Club of Rome and other assets. What a head shaker. The ignorant arrogance of cult puppet Greta Thunberg is a most blatant public example. It is the mushroom technique, keep them in the dark and feed the bullshit, which produces heads full of bullshit that then seek to impose their bullshit on everyone else. Did I mention Greta Thunberg? Or COVID? Or the fake vaccines? We are on a train fueled by bullshit hurtling towards oblivion, pulling behind an endless line of wagons full to overflowing with bullshit. We have bullshit opposed by more bullshit, ignorance opposed by more ignorance. Belief in a naturally occurring virus, bullshit, is challenged by those who say it was released from a lab in Wuhan. More bullshit, when there has never been any scientific evidence that there even is a virus. Bullshit is called truth, and truth is called misinformation. And many won't look at the truth because it's labeled misinformation. They cannot decide for themselves, and instead they have their conclusions delivered whole with a ribbon and a pre-poo toilet spray to mask the bullshit. Yes, such a product does really exist, I was staggered to find, and most necessary too, when Gates is about to speak. Fortunately, more are starting to get it, and they need to, fast. People don't come to political and other positions of power by accident, when they are crucial to making decisions that advance the cult agenda. Cultists and their non-human masters don't like leaving things to chance, and they are terrified of states of flux that they cannot call. They want certainty and to know the final score before the game starts. This means seeking to control both sides and the referee, see drug regulation agencies and Big Pharma. I learned long ago how those who later advance into key positions are developed and programmed from a very early age and selected for what they will eventually do. The two-party political system, sometimes three, is so easy to control if you have your agents in major positions in those parties to ensure that your people are selected into leadership roles. Democracies are really one-party states, as we see with the cult-owned Democrats and cult-owned Republicans in the United States, and in the UK, the cult-owned Conservative Party and cult-owned Labour Party. The Conservative Party imposed fascist restrictions on the population in response to the COVID hoax, and what did the Labour Party opposition say? They were not fascist enough. The cult controls the media, polling organisations, and increasingly voting systems themselves to ensure the man or woman it wants as president, prime minister, state premier or governor, etc. And electronic voting systems make that even easier. It's so naive to think that Donald Trump was a maverick who bucked the system to become a one-term president. Trump is part of the system with the role of leading his supporters to glorious failure, as he has done this far. He's a Pied Piper for those who can see through the lies, but unfortunately can't see through his. I had Trump's number when he was running for office in 2016, and I have detailed his background in other books. A savior he is not. Quite the opposite. One of the main cult prepare them for office organizations is fronted by Klaus Schwab, an economist and mechanical engineer from the cult's World Economic Forum, WEF, which has been on the front line of the COVID and climate change hoaxes. It was Schwab and his WEF that put the puppet Thunberg on the world stage. She was carefully chosen for many reasons, including to harness support from the young for climate change measures on the ground that they will otherwise have no future, and to prevent proper questioning of the provable crap repeated by Thunberg, because to do so would be cruel with someone of her age. On the rare occasions she has been asked the mildest of skeptical questions, she has been utterly lost. Thunberg is a mantra-repeating, clueless script reader and nothing more. The exploitation of her is a disgrace. Check the solutions to human-caused climate change and compare them with the solutions to COVID. They are control over the fine detail of our lives, which is the cult agenda writ large. And what a coincidence that both hoaxes are being perpetuated by the same people, including Schwab and Gates. The green climate agenda has led to the West becoming dependent for energy on sources they do not control, not least Russia. Biden's response to the invasion was to ban the import of Russian energy, on which the US, thanks to him, had become dependent. This further inflated the cost of fuel, and so everything else, for Americans, as they are coldly squeezed until the pips squeak. Energy costs are being manipulated to force the population into compliance with the cult green fascist agenda. Neither Russia or China could care less about climate change, when both know it's a hoax. And between them, they are self-sufficient in cheap energy with new coal-fired power stations in China, while the West has fallen into energy dependency and soaring prices in the wake of COVID, suppression of fossil fuels, and the response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. See how the cult-owned Greens condemn Western countries for using carbon fuels while ignoring China, which is the global leader in CO2 production. Meanwhile, the West moves to solar panels, 80% of which are produced by China. It's all pieces being moved on the cult chessboard to dismantle the West to the benefit of cult-owned China and the East. If the global warming myth is true, why are only experts, quote, repeating the script allowed in the media and not those with greater knowledge of carbon dioxide who are banned from appearing? Why are the billionaires of the cult, like Bill Gates, warning about sea level rises, while buying multi-million dollar homes on the beach. Anyone who is frightened of debate, as with these experts and media organisations, clearly has no confidence that their claims will stand up to scrutiny. The cult-owned BBC is a glaring example on every front. $1 billion was handed out to save Australia's Great Barrier Reef, while the Australian Institute of Marine Science reported that coral cover has increased more than 27% in the northern reef and by 26 and 39% in the central and southern areas. Narrative repeating, quote, experts like woke BBC National Treasure, David Attenborough, and journalist George Monbiot of the UK Guardian, have told us for decades that the reef was dying due to rising carbon dioxide, which is the gas of life. Without it, we would all be dead. Our food supply depends upon it for a start. Global warming and the climate change that it became when temperatures stopped rising is a speciality of Schwab and Gates to justify the dystopian transformation of human society and give all the advantages to China and Russia in a planned economic and military war between East and West on the way to a global dystopian state. Klaus Schwab was born in Germany, where the Nazis were in power, and it clearly had an impact on him. He progressed rapidly through the cult network as his career in manipulation blossomed, and he became a steering committee member of the cult cusp organisation, the Bilderberg Group, and was a director of the UK Daily Mail Group for 5 years. He founded the European Management Forum in 1971 when he was only 32, and 440 executives from 31 nations attended the first meeting. Given his lack of international profile, that is remarkable in itself, and other forces had to be at work. No doubt his connections to infamous cult and Bilderberg operative Henry Kissinger, the former US Secretary of State and National Security Advisor, helped things along. Schwab's operation changed its name to the World Economic Forum in 1987, and famously hosts the cult gopher gathering in Davos, Switzerland every year. This is attended by a who's who in world leadership, political and otherwise, in some 1,500 private jets to, among many other things, demand human society is transformed to save the world from climate change. The WEF attracts funding from some 1,000 multinational cult corporations. Schwab himself is little more than a gopher, and as with others of his ilk, his unquestioning service to evil has made him extremely rich. The motivation of the WEF is confirmed by members of its board of trustees, including Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, the largest investment management corporation on earth, of which more shortly. Other WEF trustees are the notorious cult asset Christine Lagarde, former managing director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, who became president of the European Central Bank, Mark Carney, big player in global finance, former governor of the Bank of Canada and Bank of England, and leading figure in the Bank for International Settlements that coordinates cult policy between central banks, and Queen Rania of Jordan, ranked by Forbes magazine as one of the world's 100 most powerful women. German author, researcher, and journalist Ernst Wolf has highlighted how Schwab established and managed the Young Global Leaders School, through which many of the leaders in the COVID hoax years passed on their way to office. No wonder they have all sung from the same cult song sheet throughout the fake pandemic and responded in almost exactly the same way. I detail in Perceptions of a Renegade Mind how political, government and health personnel worldwide were perceptually prepared, programmed, through training courses to be in key positions right now to impose the cult narrative and agenda on the masses with such unquestioning and unthinking coordination. Schwab established the Global Leaders for Tomorrow School in 1992, which became Young Global Leaders in 2004. This headhunts young, compliant, and psychopathic people to occupy major positions to advance the transformation of human society into a centrally dictated fascist tyranny. Names from the first class in 1992 included Angela Merkel, longtime Chancellor of Germany, Nicolas Sarkozy, who became President of France, and yes, Tony Blair, a cult operative to his fingertips and UK Prime Minister between 1997 and 2007, when he helped to mass murder untold numbers of Iraqis in the 2003 invasion, justified by the lie of weapons of mass destruction. This war criminal has been vocal in his support for every fascist measure of the COVID period and has never in his life seen a cult arse that he didn't want to lick. Other Schwab graduates have included former Blair aide, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who turned New Zealand fascist, Health Minister Greg Hunt, who turned Australia fascist, Emmanuel Macron, who turned France fascist, Governor Gavin Newsom, who turned California fascist, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who turned Canada fascist, and Chrystia Freeland, his deputy prime minister and minister of finance in Trudeau's government, who helped him turn Canada fascist. Another is reported to be Debbie Sridhar, professor and chair of global public health at the University of Edinburgh, who advised the Scottish government on how to deal with COVID, advice that turned Scotland fascist. The ironically named Freeland is a longtime Schwab asset and serves on the board of trustees of his World Economic Forum. Freeland is the granddaughter of Ukraine-born Nazi collaborator Michael Chomiak, a Nazi-trained espionage and propaganda agent who was sought by Polish authorities after the war until the 1980s for Nazi collaboration while he was located in Canada, where he died in 1984. Schwab said in an interview in 2017 that something like half of Trudeau's cabinet had been through his school. And this is the cult-owned crowd that oversaw the imposition of martial law in response to peaceful trucker protests against fake vaccine mandates. Fascist attacks on the truckers were cult-orchestrated via Schwab-owned Trudeau and Freeland. Schwab further bragged that the president of Argentina, Alberto Fernandez, and Russia's Vladimir Putin were Young Global Leader graduates. A coincidence? Yeah, sure it is. But Putin is the bad guy that the West hates, isn't he? Stage show, mate. Pure cult theater. Putin's response to COVID and all the surveillance systems justified by COVID was the same as the cult-owned West and cult-owned China. Other Schwab school graduates include Jean-Claude Juncker, former Prime Minister of Luxembourg and President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, former President of the European Commission, Alexander De Croo, Prime Minister of Belgium, Sanna Marin, Prime Minister of Finland, Carlos Alvarado Quesada, Costa Rican President, Peter Buttigieg, the US Secretary of Transportation, Sebastian Kurz, a Chancellor of Austria, Annalena Baerbock of the German Green Party, Minister of Foreign Affairs, leader of Alliance 90, De Grünen, Jens Spahn, German Federal Minister of Health since 2018, Philipp Rösler, German Minister of Health and Economics and Technology, appointed Managing Director of the World Economic Forum by Schwab in 2014, Faisal Al-Ibrahim, Saudi Arabia Minister of Economy and Planning, Vasudo Vats, Vice President of Pfizer, Richard Branson of Virgin fame, Jacob Wallenberg from the elite Swedish family known as the Swedish Rothschilds, Chelsea Clinton, daughter of the deeply corrupt and evil beyond belief cult operatives Bill and Hillary Clinton that I've been exposing in all their horrors since 1994. Schwab's graduates dominate the internet with Bill COVID fascist Gates at Microsoft, Jeff Bezos, Amazon founder and owner of the Washington Post, Larry Page, founder of Google, Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, Niklas Zennström, founder of Skype, Jimmy Wales, founder of cult narrative Wikipedia, Jack Ma, founder of Chinese internet giant Alibaba, and add to them royalty from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and the Netherlands, Leo DiCaprio, actor and UN climate ambassador, singer Bono, big mate of Bill Gates, and many in political office pushing the cult's climate change hoax, along with Green, David Rothschild, and Rikin Patel, founder of Avaaz, which ferociously pushes climate change and other cult agendas. There are also government ministers, politicians, and officials from Pakistan, Denmark, Mali, Maldives, South Africa, Israel, Bhutan, Rwanda, and Angola, along with Schwab graduates right across the global corporate world and media. You can have a Schwab graduate invading a country, Schwab graduates condemning him with crocodile tears, literally, and Schwab graduates reporting the event to the public. Talk about keeping it in-house. Author Ernst Wolf says the school appears to include some critics of the system to give the illusion of diversity. There are currently some 1,300 graduates of the school from North America, Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America. So plenty more cult gophers primed to occupy strategic positions worldwide and do whatever their masters demand. Schwab and the WEF also founded the Global Shapers Community in 2012, which brings together those identified by them as having leadership potential from around the world who are under 30. This was a definition of fascism by the Italian fascist Benito Mussolini. Fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it is a merger of state and corporate power. Communism is the absorption by the state of corporate power, and this is why I say that fascism and communism are masks on the same face. The expressed goal of cult-owned Schwab and the WEF is cooperation between public government and private corporations. And this is where the whole theme promoted by Blair and other Schwab graduates of public-private partnership came from. This is a Trojan horse for cult corporations to take over government. Mussolini again, quote, fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it is a merger of state and corporate power, end quote. On that subject, here is an example of how the corporate web connects with the cult government military intelligence network. I mentioned that when Canadian truckers launched their mass protest against mandatory fake vaccinations in the capital, Ottawa, and elsewhere in early 2022, they raised $10 million in public donations through crowdfunding site GoFundMe to allow them to financially stay in situ. The cult and its Canadian government lackeys wanted to block these funds, and suddenly GoFundMe, which is supposed to be an independent company, announced that the money would not be given to the truckers. They made some lame excuse that showed they were not even trying to hide what was going on. American proper journalist John Rappaport investigated the background to GoFundMe, and this is what he found. Two companies, Accel and Technology Crossover Ventures, TCV, own the majority stake in GoFundMe, and this is the same Accel that invested $13 million in the fledgling college enterprise of a guy called Mark Zuckerberg in 2004 that would rapidly become the global communication game changer, Facebook. Accel is headed by Jim Breyer, son of Hungarian Jewish immigrants, who became a billionaire member of the cult's World Economic Forum, Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and major investor in China. Rappaport points out that Breyer chaired another company, National Venture Capital Association of America, and in that same year of 2004, a man called Gilman Louie joined the board. Louie was the first CEO of the CIA's technology funding operation, InQtel, also IQT, which supports companies developing technology useful to CIA data gathering. The CIA's Louie was involved in another company headed by Breyer, BBN Technologies, which employed Dr. Anita Jones, who had worked for InQtel and was an advisor to the internet creating DARPA, the sinister technological development arm of the Pentagon. Amazing, isn't it, that none of this gets into the mythical narrative of Zuckerberg and Facebook, which became the world's biggest data mining and personal profiling site. You know, the same Zuckerberg and Facebook that is censoring anything that challenges the cult narrative on COVID, human-caused climate change, and so much else. Breyer's Accel is a further investor in Spotify of Joe Rogan censorship fame. As Rappaport puts it, GoFundMe, Accel, Facebook, CIA, InQtel, Jim Breyer, CFR, World Economic Forum, major investments in China, basically the club. I can't think why GoFundMe would block funds for freedom-demanding truckers given this background. The truckers then raised millions more in public donations through GiveSendGo, and they were frozen by the Ontario Superior Court of No Justice after an application by the Ontario government of Premier Doug Ford. Then the Toronto Dominion Bank successfully applied to the same rubber-stamping court to freeze trucker donation accounts containing $1.1 million. You can clearly see how the web works. Clearly none of this is happening by accident, and this is where we find the method in the madness. I'll go into this in far more detail later. In short, a non-human force is ultimately behind the global cult, with the goal of infiltrating, achieved, and then taking over human society, almost there, through control of perception via technology. This includes a program of mass depopulation, which I've long predicted and is now playing out as a consequence of the COVID fake vaccines. Scott Davison, CEO of major US insurance company One America, said that deaths of working age people between 18 and 64 increased by 40% in the third quarter of 2021 as the fake vaccines were widely circulating. Davison said, "We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America. The data is consistent across every player in that business," end quote. He said these were huge, huge numbers. Quote, "Just to give you an idea of how bad that is, A 3 sigma or 1 in 200 year catastrophe would be a 10% increase over pre-pandemic, he said. So 40% is just unheard of. Davison said the trend continued in the next quarter. German health insurance company BKK Provita said that adverse effects data was being significantly underreported and was far higher than official figures. BKK board member Andreas Schiffbeck said, quote, according to our calculations, we consider 400,000 visits to the doctor by our insured persons due to vaccination complications to be realistic to date, end quote. He added that if those figures were extrapolated over a year for the German population of 83 million, it was likely that between 2.5 and 3 million Germans receive medical treatment for fake vaccine adverse events. Data from the UK Office for National Statistics, ONS, in February 2022 revealed that fake vaccinated children have a death rate 54 times higher than unfake vaccinated kids. Funeral directors have said that numbers passing through their businesses did not increase during the pandemic of 2020. So where was the virus? This changed dramatically after the fake vaccine rollout in late 2020, early 2021. Quote, I have never seen anything like it, one said. A mortician in Sydney, Australia, described people being cremated in droves after dying from fake vaccine-related side effects, such as, quote, heart attacks, strokes, and blood clots, end quote. Many funeral homes were being forced to secure large freezers to store the dead, she said. Quote, some of the places are actually installing extra-large freezers that hold a minimum of 20. Some of them are ordering 8 big containers that each hold 20 bodies, end quote. HEART, Health Advisory and Recovery Team, is a group of UK doctors, scientists, economists, psychologists and academics who came together to share concerns about the official response to the COVID pandemic. They reported in early 2022 that emergency calls for cardiac arrests had soared in 2021 when the fake vaccines were made available. Quote, it is notable that the 2019 and 2020 expectations for the number of arrest calls are almost identical, only a 0.2% difference. However, the 2021 baseline was inflated by 14%. Using the 2019-2020 baseline, the number of arrest calls has been 30% above expected levels, with 27,800 extra arrest calls. That amounts to over 500 extra arrest calls every day, although they were not evenly distributed through the year. Between 90 and 97% of these people will have died as a result. End quote. American funeral director and embalmer Richard Hirschman revealed how he is seeing arteries and veins filled with unnatural blood clot combinations, with strange fibrous materials that are filling the vascular system. You can see internet videos of the clots being removed from corpses, and they are shocking in their length and extent. No wonder the authorities blocked autopsies on COVID patients. Hirschman said he had never seen anything like this in more than 20 years of experience as a board-certified embalmer. He confirmed that others in the industry were finding the same. Hirschman described clots and worm-like structures. He began to see them for the first time in late 2020, and eventually they involved half the bodies that he saw. Later, it was 80 to 90%. What happens in one limb happens in both. So it is bodily universal and not location specific. Hirschman said he had witnessed an increase in deaths from heart attacks and strokes, and given the blood clots he was seeing, that is no surprise. Quote, "If this is caused by the vaccine, and my gut is telling me it is, imagine the amount of people who will be dying in the future because people cannot live with this kind of substance floating around their vessels. If one of these small fibrous tissues gets up into the brain, you're going to have a stroke. If it gets into your heart, it's going to lead to a heart attack." End quote. Data compiled on the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, revealed that COVID fake vaccines are almost 50 times deadlier than flu vaccines by number of doses. 743,179 adverse events with the COVID jab in a period of 14 months against 137,533 with the flu shot over 13 years. Strokes told the same story, with 4,532 COVID jab cases reported in 14 months against 122 in 13 years with the flu vaccine. Headlines from outside the mainstream media began to reflect the reality the cult-owned media was seeking to suppress. Why are deaths in highly vaccinated Denmark approaching a record high? mRNA jab deaths and injuries are soaring in Europe. Countries with high COVID vaccination rates all suffered an extraordinary rise in excess deaths in 2021, suggesting the jabs are to blame. Parents protest deaths of children from Pfizer vaccines in Geneva, Switzerland. CDC data shows 40% rise in excess deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds in the USA in 2021. FIFA football deaths in December 2021 alone matched the annual average for the last 12 years. Government must halt child COVID vaccination immediately and investigate the cause of the spike in child deaths. UK has recorded five times more deaths in 12 months due to COVID vaccination than it has deaths due to all vaccines combined in 21 years, and Twitter doesn't want you to find out. Deaths among male teens increased by 53% following COVID vaccination in 2021, and the death spikes correlate perfectly with the uptake of dose 1, 2, and 3. New study shows increase in deaths in 145 countries after COVID vaccines were introduced. They are just some of the headlines. There are so many more along the same lines. At the same time, a stream of UK NHS doctors were pouring out shocking and provable lies on the internet about the jabs and their effectiveness and safety under something called the Vaccine Confidence Project. Confidence is secured by telling the public unbelievable whoppers so they will have the fake vaccine no matter what the already documented consequences. Where is their self-respect? The death and injury trend must continue with the fake vaccines containing self-replicating synthetic genetic material that goes on spreading and expanding. The jabs have also been found to contain lethal graphene oxide nanoparticles by scientists and doctors in the UK, New Zealand, Germany, Spain, America, and elsewhere. Graphene is used in batteries, supercapacitors, biosensing, and drug delivery, and can cut the body to pieces on the nanoscale after being infused by the fake vaccines. Graphene conducts electrical signals, including communications between cells, and can therefore change the entire communication system of the body and rewire the body-brain dynamic. No, that is not a conspiracy theory. This ability is claimed in graphene promotional videos to be a way of overcoming spinal injuries, Alzheimer's, and cancer. Some claim that graphene is quickly ejected from the body, but not so. Spiders sprayed with graphene mostly died, while those that survived began to spin webs containing graphene that were incredibly strong. Graphene is not ejected from the body. It becomes part of the body. Once inside, these are some of the consequences that can follow. Blood clots, damage to red blood cells and the immune system, multi-organ inflammation, inflamed mucous membranes and a loss of taste or smell, inflammation of the mucous membranes, and an unusual metallic taste in the mouth. Magnetic properties, which may explain how many people found their bodies have become magnetic to metal objects. Neurodegeneration in the brain. Many effects of graphene oxide are the same as alleged symptoms of, quote, COVID-19. Graphene can cut blood vessels and tissue to shreds at the nano level, and if graphene was in the flu vaccines widely given to especially old people before SARS-CoV-2 was said to have appeared, it would explain phenomena attributed to COVID-19. Doctors and researchers have found graphene nanotubes in the blood of fake vaccinated people. You can see internet videos of graphene self-assembling into networks when stimulated by electricity, electromagnetism. And it is clear that what fake vaccines put into the body is designed to interact with Wi-Fi and 5G for reasons I'll come to later. Graphene can generate magnetism, which would explain the magnetic nature of the skin in some fake vaccinated people, especially at the injection site. Graphene nanoparticles are highly likely to be involved in the phenomenon of shedding when fake vaccinated people are said to pass on their injected contents to non-fake vaccinated, who then develop similar consequences. Skin contact is said to be one means. Snake-like structures have been found in the blood of the fake vaccinated, which connect and self-assemble into matrix-like material. This has never been seen in the human body before, and the same with self-assembling crystalline substances found in the blood and fake vaccine vials. These have been shown to illuminate when a smartphone is nearby. Thousands have been found in one drop of blood or vial material. None of these things are mentioned in the official ingredients. Pfizer, in league with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, tried to delay the release of data from its fake vaccine trials for 75 years. That's how much they care about you and your right to informed consent. When a court refused the request, amazing revelations began to emerge from the documents. The London Daily Express reported that when Pfizer applied for FDA approval, it was aware of almost 158,000 adverse events from the fake vaccine, and no wonder they requested the documents remain sealed for 75 years. Adverse effects Pfizer was aware about before the fake vaccine rollout included vaccine-associated enhanced disease, which, as the name suggests, means the fake vaccines make subsequent disease worse than it would otherwise be. Pfizer documents that it was so keen not to release reveal how vaccine-associated enhanced disease was considered to be an important potential risk, including vaccine-associated enhanced respiratory disease. The documents say that an expected rate of vaccine-associated enhanced disease was difficult to establish, and so a meaningful observed expected analysis could not be conducted based on available data. Quote, the feasibility of conducting such an analysis will be reevaluated on an ongoing basis as data on the virus grows and the vaccine safety data continues to accrue, end quote. In words of few syllables, that means they would find out the effect of the fake vaccines by using them on the public, while Pfizer, politicians, and compliant health professionals, liars, told people they were safe and effective when they are neither. What's more, the unfake vaccinated control group in the fake trials was then also fake vaccinated to prevent any comparison being made ongoing between the vaxxed and unvaxxed. As a result of this deceit and mendacity, Pfizer made some $36 billion in 2021, thanks to governments using public money to buy their health-destroying shite. Among the markers for vaccine-associated enhanced disease are the following, and I'll do my best with the pronunciation. Hypoxia, oxygen deprivation to the brain, pneumonia, respiratory failure, acute respiratory distress syndrome, cardiac failure, cardiogenic shock, acute myocardial infarction, myocarditis, arrhythmia, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, jaundice, acute hepatic failure, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, peripheral ischemia, decrease in blood supply oxygen, tachypnea, abnormal rapid breathing, vasculitis, blood vessel destruction through inflammation, acute kidney injury, renal failure, altered state of consciousness, seizure, encephalopathy, degenerative disease of the brain, meningitis, cerebral vascular accident, thrombocytopenia, blood coagulation disorder, disseminated intravascular coagulation, multiple organ dysfunction syndrome, multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children. A UK laboratory report found graphene oxide in vials of Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. Many vials contain only a saline solution, which neither damages the body nor protects from, quote, COVID. This is to stop the death numbers getting so out of hand they cannot be hidden. The idea is that as people have repeated fake vaccines, they will cop a bad one eventually, with the effects spread over a longer period. A rider to that is that even some of the saline vials have been found to contain graphene. Christopher Cole, Food and Drug Administration, FDA executive officer, was caught on a hidden camera by the Project Veritas organization, saying that annual COVID fake vaccines are the planned policy. Quote, Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible, he said. Biden doesn't know what day it is. His cult handlers want to jab as many people as possible. Researchers have also exposed how particular groups of vial lot numbers are especially deadly and how fake vaccine companies are colluding to coordinate the circulation of these lots. Who is orchestrating this coordination of mass murder? The cult, which owns them all. Reports from Spain, Slovakia, Cyprus, and other countries have found PCR test swabs, mostly out of China, contaminated with nanotech hydrogels, lithium, and the poison ethylene oxide. The plan was not only for mass fake vaccination, but mass testing to get people both ways. The American National Cancer Institute describes ethylene oxide as a flammable, colorless gas with a sweet odor and used primarily to produce other chemicals, including antifreeze. Ethylene oxide is employed in smaller amounts as a pesticide. Quote, the ability of ethylene oxide to damage DNA makes it an effective sterilizing agent, but also accounts for its cancer-causing activity, the Institute says on its website. Lymphoma, leukemia, stomach and breast cancers are the most frequently reported. Human exposure to ethylene oxide comes through inhalation and ingestion, which may occur through occupational, consumer, or environmental exposure, or, since COVID, by having a test swab stuck up your nose over and over. I have a different view about what cancer really is, so let's say what they call cancer in this case. Christopher Whitty, the psychopathic chief medical officer for England, overruled the government's vaccine advisory committee, which for once recommended against giving the fake vaccine to healthy 12 to 15 year olds. Whitty and chief medical officers in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland did not give a medical reason for this, but instead spoke of children losing education time and the mental effects of missing school. Funny, this did not concern Whitty at all when he was pressing for closing schools during lockdown. From the moment fake vaccines were given to kids in this 12 to 15 age range and higher, the ratio of deaths from all causes far exceeded the five-year average. How is this not murder, when deaths and adverse effects in higher age groups were already well known? One definition of murder is this: the killing of another person without justification or excuse, especially the crime of killing a person with malice aforethought or with recklessness, manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life. Even if you gave Whitty the benefit of the doubt and used only the latter part of that definition, how can what he did not be murder, when the health and fatality consequences of the fake vaccine were well known by then? Edward Dowd, a former executive-turned-whistleblower with investment mega-giant BlackRock, teamed up with an insurance industry collaborator to investigate the excess death data of America's CDC. What they found was shocking. The millennial age group, born 1981 to 1996, saw an 84% increase in excess mortality after the fake vaccines were introduced, and many millennials were subject to mandates to keep their jobs. This was 7 times higher than the silent generation of 85 and over. Dowd said that from the summer to the autumn fall of 2021, there were 61,000 more millennial deaths than normal. That's more dead Americans than were killed in the Vietnam War, when 58,000 troops died in 10 years. Here were 61,000 young Americans dead in 6 months. But there was more, much more. Excess mortality for Generation X, born 1965 to 1980, saw a spike in the same period of 101,000, while over 65 baby boomers experienced 306,000 excess deaths. Dowd described this as a World War II event, when 291,000 Americans died. Quote, "We've had 1.1 million excess deaths since the pandemic began, many of which occurred in the second half of 2021, which is, again, all you need to know," Dowd said. Quote, 1.1 million excess deaths equates to 4,000 World Trade Center events, end quote. He continued, quote, "I think this is the smoking gun, that the vaccines are causing excess mortality in all age groups, and it's no coincidence that CDC Director Rochelle Walensky refuses to answer Senator Ron Johnson's letters. They're hiding. Fauci's gone, she's gone, they're hiding. So I'm going to put a word out there. It's an old word, but it should be reintroduced into the conversation. It's called democide, death by government. So the government, through the mandates, has killed people. End quote. They were murdered. And those that caused them to be fake vaccinated and administered those shots are murderers by this definition alone. Quote, the killing of another person with recklessness manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life. End quote. The cult-owned mainstream media cover up all this by omission and demonization of those seeking to make the public aware of the unfolding human disaster. Ever more symptoms of COVID are added to explain health consequences of the fake vaccines, with suddenly the heart condition myocarditis, a COVID symptom, after so many have died from heart attacks or had their sports careers destroyed by myocarditis and other heart damage. We've been bombarded with propaganda in the wake of this from fraudulent doctors and fraudulent media about how heart disease in the young is normal and all the ways that your activities can trigger heart attacks. They could not cover up the number of professional sports people who have died or had their careers ended by heart conditions since the rollout, and nor the number of those who have collapsed in public situations, such as television and stage shows, or while making statements to the media. Among them was American comedian Heather McDonald, who was in the middle of boasting to her audience about how many fake vaccines she'd had, when she collapsed on stage. After she left hospital, McDonald was asked if she had been checked for myocarditis. "What's that?" she replied. Those telling others to get the jab and being dismissive and hostile when they refuse have no idea what is in the vials and the potential health consequences. The devastating and cumulative dismantling of the immune system caused by the jabs has promoted claims about a new highly virulent strain of HIV and how COVID has an HIV-like mutation which helps it to attack human cells. The relevance of this is that the HIV virus is supposed to demolish the immune system and cause AIDS or acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Oh, it's HIV that's destroying immune systems, not the fake vaccine. That would be difficult when there is no HIV. It has never been shown to exist, as intelligent and inquiring people have long known. See Perceptions of a Renegade Mind and Children of the Matrix, which exposed the AIDS scam in 2001. American biochemist Kerry Mullis, the Nobel Prize-winning creator of the PCR test, knew there is no HIV a long time ago and said so in a great book, Dancing Naked in the Minefield. There is no HIV and there is no COVID. I'll have more on this and HIV towards the end of the book.